Well, you know, after going through the tape here, I think that there were definitely some encouraging things last night, and also a number of things we need to work on, both individually and from a team or overall scheme standpoint. But I thought overall that the players competed well, and we were trying to, obviously our first time out there, trying to get our game day operation running without too many bumps in the road. So I thought that that was a step in the right direction. And I think the big thing for us this week is we just have to take advantage of the only chance we have in the whole preseason now to actually string some practice days together. So this will be important for us to get the most out of them and try to improve our team, because once we play again, we'll be playing three games right in a row, and there won't be really much time to do anything but very quickly prepare for the next game. So that's kind of where we're at for today. On the injury front, the news on Dane doesn't look very good, so he'll probably be out for a while. It's unfortunate because he's worked hard. He's had a really good off season and training camp. We've had good competition at that position. It'll be an opportunity for somebody else to step in, but it's unfortunate for Dane. So that's where we're at for today.
Open it up for questions.
Bill, you mentioned some encouraging things outside of the way the team competed, which I know you mentioned last night right after the game before you had a chance to watch it. What were some of the encouraging things that you saw after reviewing the tape?
Well, I thought individually there were, good plays from a lot of players. We were inconsistent in certain areas. Or, guys had good plays and then they had other plays that weren't so good. But, some of the things that we worked on in practice showed up out there on the field in technique standpoint, and that's been a big emphasis, as it always is in training camp, is to, play with good fundamentals, blocking, tackling, things like that. We had some production running the ball. Defensively, we didn't give up a lot of points, but we played competitively against both the runs and passing game. Coverage in the kicking game was pretty competitive. But, again, as I said, there's a lot of things we got to work on. And I wouldn't say that we're there in any of those areas. They were just urgent.
So, specifically in the run game, saw in this game, it seemed like there was a little bit of I formation. How much did you guys do of that last year without, the pure fullback on the roster?
Not a whole lot.
What was your thought on the way those plays look when you had either Catani? I think one time Hernandez even was back there in that up. What was your thought on that package of plays, the production you got out of that?
Again, some of the production was good, some of it was not so good, but again, even on the plays that weren't good plays, there were some good blocks and some good things done on the play. We just didn't execute it well enough to gain a lot of yardage, and even on some of the plays that we had that gained good yardage, there were still other things that we could have done better. So, it's all part of the improving and getting better process, but we've been running those plays all through training camp. You've seen them out there, so we've tried to work on the things in the game that we've been practicing the last couple of weeks.
Just a follow-up on that, Bill. What is the benefit of, let's say, an I formation versus, let's say, like just, two tight ends, take out the fullback and put two tight ends on? Is it just more of an angles thing to give the defense a different look? Or do you actually get something more out of that than if you didn't have that formation?
I'd say it's pretty basic. If you line your tight end up on one side of the formation, if you put the other tight end wherever you put him with that tight end or opposite of him, his its alignment kind of declares where the strength of the formation is. Now, I mean, you could run them all the way across the, you know, behind the ball and across the formation when the ball snapped to get them to the other side, but it's a long way to go, and, you know, it's a counter type action. There's not a lot you can do from there. So, you know, when you put them up on the line, you kind of declare to the defense where the strength of the formation is. You know, when you have a fullback in the backfield, in the I formation, or even if he's offset, you know, it's a lot easier for that player to go to either side of the ball, and, you know, he can get to the tight end side or he can get to the weak side and become a blocker at the point of attack. Defense doesn't know where that's going to be until, you know, he runs his course after the ball snap. But if it's a tight end, I mean, you can line up a tight end and a fullback, of course, and do the same thing. It's just a question of how good the tight end would be at doing that. But if you line them up on the line, then your formation declares pre-snap, whereas in the I formation, your formation really doesn't declare until after the ball snap. Final formation. You follow that, or is that two?
Oh, no, I followed it. I followed all the way through. I appreciate it.
Okay. Yep.
So with Dane being out for a while, as you said, do you have a plan for how you'll shuffle that linebacker core? Will we see more of Bobby Carpenter and maybe Dante Hightower in the middle on a more regular basis?
Well, we'll just have to see how that goes. Again, those players have played multiple positions through training camp and even last night. So it's one of the things we'll probably talk about tomorrow as a staff, or later tonight and tomorrow as a staff. It's just as we always do after a game, and as we head into the next week, talk about our what personnel we have available, which guys we expect to might have a chance to practice this week, which guys we think for sure are going to practice, and then which guys might have a chance to practice, and what are what we think how we'd want to practice those players and possibly play them in the upcoming game against Philadelphia. So those are things that we'll, you know, we'll talk about tonight and tomorrow, and then try to put it into place next week when we start practicing the best that we can.
What are, without any practice, what do you and the coaching staff hope to accomplish in the next 36 hours or so?
We'll take a look at what we've done over the last 2 weeks, both on the practice field and, against the Saints and in practice and in the game. Try to take a look at where we are, where we feel like we definitely need work, where we feel like we need to stay on it, but that overall our execution is at a fairly competitive level. New things that we need to put in eventually later on in the week, things that we will know we'll need to do because of what Philadelphia does that we'll have to prepare for, or adjustments that we know we'll have to make for them. And, continue to just, in general, build on what we've done the last, 2 weeks with our team in terms of fundamentals, techniques, conditioning, situation, football, and just continuing to progress to be as ready as we can on opening day for, all the different things that we're going to have to face.
Bill, so there were a couple of plays made by Jerod last night. The primary one made on a third down play where he tracked down Darren Sproles in that weak side linebacker spot. Is he a guy who's able to use different strengths depending upon how he's being deployed, as opposed to one guy? Like in the middle, he plays it one way. On the weak side, he can play it another, and it can be very, very adaptable.
Well, sure. I think Jerod has a lot of strengths, and he does a lot of things well. That's why he's such a good player. He can run, he can tackle, he can take on blockers. He can chase down plays. He can play good zone pass defense. He can cover guys man-to-man. He has the ability to blitz. He's smart. He calls our defenses. He makes adjustments. So he's, a versatile player, but he's also a player, if you just put him in one spot, that can do a lot of things well and help your defense in a lot of ways. So, yeah, absolutely. Gives you good flexibility. on your team all the way around, just, you know, because he does so many things well. And he has a very good understanding of not only what we're trying to do, but, you know, what the opponents are trying to do and what things, you know, we would or wouldn't want to do against certain looks or certain problems that they try to give us. He does a nice job of getting the defense to something that we would want to be in, or, you know, something that we could play, that we would want to play in that situation.
Bill, going back to Dane, are you leaving open the possibility that he could return this year, or is it likely that he's headed towards a season-ending type injured reserve status?
I'm not trying to speculate on his injury. I just think that he's going to be out for a while and see exactly what that means. I don't know.
Bill, if I remember correctly, in 2010 when you practiced with the Saints, you called them some of the most productive practices you've ever been part of. Do you feel the same way about the last 3 days that you spent with them?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to be with them. You know, the good thing in 2010 was, you know, that was a time when we'd go two practices, and, you know, in the one day we were able to kind of split things up. But, you know, it is what it is, and I think we got a lot out of it, absolutely. They're a good football team, and they're good to work with. Joe Bitt and Sean's staff, you know, do a great job. And we certainly learned a lot and had a lot of good teaching situations come up in practice and in the games, from working against the Saints. So I'm glad we did it, and, you know, we definitely got a lot out of it.
Any other questions?
Bill, two linebackers, Bobby Carpenter and Mike Rivera. What are your thoughts on their strengths in terms of what they do well that make them, you know, players that you obviously have decided to work with here this year?
Well, I mean, I think they're a little bit at the opposite ends for comparison. I mean, Bobby's a very experienced player. He's been with, you know, several teams. He's played inside and outside in a 3-4. He's, you know, played the different positions in a 4-3 and nickel defenses. He has a lot of experience in the kicking game. He's done a lot of different things for Detroit, Miami, Dallas, and us. So he's a versatile player with a lot of experience. You know, Mike's a player that's trying to work his way up from the other end, and, you know, was on our practice squad last year. Wasn't in training camp for us, but, you know, had a good year on the practice squad and did enough things that we re-signed him this season, and he's been very competitive in camp. So, you know, we're trying to give him some opportunities to, you know, see what he can do and, you know, how effective he can be doing it. But he's certainly well ahead of where he was last year because of the spring practices, the OTAs, and coming into and being here in training camp, so he knows our system a lot better. He's a hard-working kid that, you know, has shown up in the kicking game and on defense. Done some good things, but, you know, still has a long way to go to establish himself as a veteran NFL player, which I think Bobby has done that.
Take a final question.
Bill, I could call the league, which I know you're probably going to tell me to do, but I just throw it out there. Do you have the option of this shortened injured reserve, one player? Is that I forget if that passed through this year, if that was something that was talked about and never happened.
As I understand it, Mike, and this is, don't take this as gospel, but as I understand it, the rule was passed by the clubs and the membership.
Yep.
But because it has other implications with players and rosters and so forth, a lot of things I don't understand. That there needs to be some type of agreement or approval or negotiation or whatever it is with the Players Association.
Okay.
So, as of right now, my understanding is that the rules have not changed, but there's a possibility that they could, I don't know, could change or could be modified or, I don't know.
Okay.
Based on the membership's approval, the club's approval of the changes, but I don't know what the exact process is for all that to happen, because there are some things that I guess would come into play with those changes relative to the CBA, so that's a long answer to a short question. Bottom line is, I don't think there are any changes, and I don't really understand the whole process in this particular case for what would constitute, you know, what would be necessary to even make that change. So best thing you could do would be to call the league office and talk to somebody that's a lot smarter than I am about that.
All right, thanks, everyone. Thank you, Coach.
Okay, thanks. Have a good weekend.